Welcome to our continued study from the Gospel of St. Matthew. St. Matthew, of course, is an accountant, and his gospel has been called the didactic or teaching gospel, because he has the habit of putting every, subject in a certain position, not like the other gospel writers who have them all over the place. But Matthew has a very well organized gospel, and we are going to look at the subject of provision in our session this morning. And provision, of course, is very important when we consider that we are in the year 2009. There's an economic downturn, virtually global, and everybody has a concern concerning their job, where they're going to have sufficient money to feed their family and the like. Many are losing their homes, and therefore this subject of provision is very important indeed for each and every one of us. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking particularly on the theme of provision in Matthew 6 and verses 24 to 34. And so it's something that each and every one of us needs to study, needs to meditate upon, and indeed understand. Now, this thought of provision is very important indeed, because after all, everybody needs to drink, to eat, and to be clothed, and indeed to be housed. Well, that is the subject for our session today. And we are looking, as I said, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And in verse 24, the Lord brings out a very important truth. He said, "Now look, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and this world." And so that is the point that we have to make immediately. Now, the question I have to put to you before we continue is this, that the teachings of Jesus apply to the Christian. He is going to point out to the Christian that God is his heavenly Father. And because he's his heavenly Father, then he is going to look after him. Now then, the first question I must ask you is this: is God your heavenly Father? Are you a child of God? If you are, then what we are going to say afterwards is highly relevant for you and applies to you. But if you are not a child of God, then all these promises that we are going to find in this section of Matthew will not apply to you. And so you've got to make a decision right away. Are you a child of God or not? Now, if you are a child of God, all the things that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to speak on concerning provision will apply to you, and you will receive. But if you are not a child of God, I can say to you that that which I am going to open up and the truths that I'm going to open up concerning provision for the Christian will not apply to you. God's promises are to his people. And so right at the onset, we have to ask ourselves, are we a child of God? How do we become a child of God? Well, we become a child of God by simply saying, "Oh, Heavenly Father, you know, I am a sinner, and I want to be forgiven my sins, and I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, that he will come into my heart." And you see, when that becomes a reality in your life, then you become a child of God. And then all these promises that we are going to see in this Gospel of Matthew will apply to you. So first things first, you cannot serve God and this world. And so we have to be uniquely a child of God. Well, we move on Now then, in verse 25, the Lord Jesus Christ says this, and of course he's saying it to the children of God. Take therefore, I say unto you, no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, or what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? In other words, he says, look, drink, eat, being clothed upon, housed, and so forth. You know, when you're a child of God, you know, we are not to be concerned with those things. Well, how come, you see? Well, let us look at the natural, shall we? That a child, a natural child, you see, has a father. Now, does that child concern himself with what he will drink, what he will eat, what clothes he will wear? No, because his natural father takes care of those things. He doesn't even think about it, because he knows if he needs a drink, something to eat, something to wear, well, he's only got to turn to his natural father, and the natural father will indeed provide. And this is essentially what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Now look, that is in the natural, but in the spiritual, you know, a Christian has a heavenly father who is going to take care of all those things that he needs. So we move on, and the Lord Jesus Christ gives us now an example. And the example he brings us to are the fowls of the air, or in other words, the birds. And he said, now look, let us consider the birds. They don't sow, neither do they reap, nor gather together food in barns, yet who feeds them? Your heavenly Father feeds them. In other words, you look at birds, and they're well fed, they're nurtured, they're cared for. Who does it? They don't. They don't look after themselves. But the Heavenly Father does. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, look, look at nature. Look at those birds. They're very well cared for. They're happy, they're contented. Why? Because the Heavenly Father cares for each one of them. And do you know, the knowledge of the Heavenly Father concerning his creation is formidable. Do you know that not a sparrow can fall to the ground, yet the Heavenly Father knows that? Not one little sparrow. Now, we have no understanding of when a sparrow falls to the ground. We don't observe it and so forth, but the Heavenly Father does. And then let us come to our own, shall I say, body. Do you know what the Word of God says? That every one of our hairs has a number. Do you know how many hairs you have on your head? No, I have no idea. In fact, the angel counting my hairs is doing a subtraction at the moment because my hairs are falling out. But every one of our hairs has a number. There is the absolute understanding of how the Heavenly Father watches over us. Well, and then he says, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ continues this thought. He said, now, look, your height. Can you increase your height? Of course not. You can do nothing. No. King David said in Psalm 139 that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. And then he went on to say that the Lord Jesus Christ formed him in his mother's womb according to the book written by the Heavenly Father before the foundation of the world. In other words, we were known by the Heavenly Father before this world was created. And he determined our physical frame, how tall we would be, what color hair we would be, what color eyes would we have. You know, talking about the color of eyes. There was a wonderful missionary lady by the name of Amy Carmichael. And she was 5 years of age at this time. And she looked into her mirror and she saw her eyes were brown. And she said, "Oh, Jesus, may these eyes become blue." And she prayed and she opened her eyes again and they were still brown. And then she said, "Well, perhaps there's a reason why my eyes are brown." There were reasons for her eyes being brown, because later on in life, she had a call to India. And in India, every one of those women that she took care of had brown eyes, so she could be identified with them. Well, we move on. And then in verse 28, we find that the Lord says, "Why take ye thought for raiment? Why are you worried about what clothes you're going to wear?" He said, "Look at the lilies of the valley." And these lilies, how they grow. They don't toil, neither do they spin. In other words, the lily is a beautiful flower, and it's good to contemplate one of them. They're beautiful. And he said, "Look, in order to have that beautiful, shall I say, raiment, these lilies did nothing about it. It was the Heavenly Father who so formed them." Well, he said, even Solomon, in all his glory, surely, probably the richest man who's ever lived, King Solomon, and available, everything was available to him with all his riches. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, the lily is far more beautiful, and was arrayed in a manner that Solomon could not be arrayed in for all his riches. And he then goes on to say, "Look, look at the grass of the field." Now, the grass of the field, you have the blades of the field. And there are people that study grass, scientists who study grass. I don't know how they're called, perhaps grassologists, I don't know. But they tell us a very interesting thing about grass, that there is not one blade of grass exactly identical to another. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes this point. He said, "Look, your Heavenly Father clothes those blades of grass. And today they are, tomorrow they're gone." Now, if God takes such infinite care in forming each blade of grass, which is going to be gone tomorrow, but today it is beautiful, he said, "Look, won't he take far more care of you?" We have to realize this. You see that the Heavenly Father is actively engaged in every area of his creation. And therefore, you know, in the congregation of the righteous, the Lord is looking after each and every one of us. And so, you know, he said, "Look, shall not the Heavenly Father more clothe you?" And then he adds this little phrase, "O ye of little faith." O ye of little faith. That's what we need to increase, our faith. And faith, you know, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as we will read this passage, faith will come into our hearts. And we will be able to believe, look, if God clothes the grass and he makes the lilies so beautiful and he feeds the birds of the air, is he not able and willing to feed us, who are far more important than the birds of the air and certainly more than grass? Of course he is. You see, and that is the purpose, that as we listen to the preaching of God's word on this subject, even now, we want faith to enter your hearts so that you can believe that God will be looking after you. You know, we're talking about an economic downturn, but have you ever considered that heaven has no recession? Heaven has no economic downturn. Heaven is the source of abundant supply. No, if you're a child of God, you're indeed under the care of a heavenly Father that created all things and is able to make all things abound unto you. Let us continue. You see, so in verse 31, he said, look, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And then in verse 32, he makes a difference, you see, a difference that we made at the beginning between those who know God and those who do not know God. And he said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. In other words, if you're not a child of God, well, of course, you're very concerned about what you're going to drink, what you're going to eat, what you're going to be clothed upon, whether you're going to keep your house or not. Of course you're concerned, because there's nobody watching over you. But if you're a Christian, there is the Heavenly Father who is indeed looking after you and will not suffer you to want. You know, King David, that marvelous king of Israel, he made this statement. He said, I have not seen the righteous beg. And that opens up another very important truth for the Christian. Because here in verse 33, we as Christians are told what to do, what is the key for provision in our lives. And here it is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There you are. That's what we are to do. We have a commandment. We cannot serve the world and God. We've got to serve God. We've got to seek the kingdom of God. We've got to seek those things that are above. We've got to be heavenly minded. We've got to realize that we're on this earth to give pleasure to our Heavenly Father and to our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We are to give pleasure to these three in one, the Trinity, the divine Godhead. And as we seek to give pleasure to them, and you say, well, how do I give pleasure to them? By walking uprightly. By walking uprightly. By doing those things that are righteous. Those things you know that you should be doing. Those things that are good. And as you do that, you are giving pleasure to the Heavenly Father. So here we have, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We need to cry out to God, oh God, give me a hunger and thirst for righteousness. You see, and here is the promise that follows. And all these things shall be added unto you. You know, everything else is just a thing. You know, God can speak and did speak this world into existence. You know, there was darkness, and he said, let there be light. And there was light. And God commanded all the things around us to come into existence. He commanded the grass to grow. He commanded the trees and to be fruitful. He commanded the animals and so forth. Well, now, the point is this, that if God can speak the whole of creation into existence, can he not speak into existence the things that you need? Can he not provide for you? Of course. Of course. He said, all these things shall be added unto you. It is an attitude of life. It is a way of life. And the righteous, King David said, I have never seen the righteous beg, because God provides for his people. And those who are indeed seeking him for those things that please him, he adds all that they need. Now, we are going into difficult times. The word of God is prophetic. The word of God declares in the latter times there shall be darkness. In the latter times there shall be deprivation. There shall be famine in divers places. There shall be earthquakes. Yes, the word of God declares that in the last days times will be difficult. When in such a time as that, do we not need a savior? Do we not need someone who looks after us, someone who cares for us? You know, the highest title in the universe is that of Father. And when we think of that word Father, does it not conjure up in our heart and in our mind of someone who looks after us, someone who cares for us, someone who ensures that we drink, eat and are clothed, someone who is warm-hearted, someone who looks after us and with tenderness in his eyes to ensure that we have what we need? Well, that is a normal father, isn't it? And you know, if we're sick, you know, there he is to look after us again. Well, that is what the Heavenly Father wants us to think concerning himself. That here he is, a person of great compassion, a person who cares, a person who wants to extend his hand to help us in every situation. A person, yes, who has the whole universe in his hand, and it is he who has determined that these things shall come to pass upon the earth. Why? Because of the wickedness amongst the nations of this world. Look how the standards have gone down. Look how the Ten Commandments have been compromised. Look how there is immorality on every hand. Look at violence in amongst the nations. Oh, it's like the time of Noah, when God grieved that he had indeed created this mankind. But in the last days too, there will be great judgments. But you see, the one who has determined these judgments is also the one who is well able to look after you in these times. And you know, I want to encourage you. I want your faith to grow. Look, if you are a Christian, you have a Father. And that Father has all power in heaven and in earth. And here he is, he sent his beloved Son to care for you, to save you, that you should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this Heavenly Father not only wants to ensure that you are on the way to eternal life in heaven above, but also on this earth, that you will be well provided for, that you will not suffer hunger, that you will not suffer deprivation, that you will have a job, that you will indeed be cared for. No, we have a Heavenly Father who not only wants us to go to heaven above and live with Him in eternity, but on this earth, He wants day by day to care for us. Do you remember the Lord's Prayer? You know, give us this day our daily bread. And this is what He said, you see, in the closing verse of this passage. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient is the day, the evil thereof. So let us look to the Lord day by day to care for us. Let us go out in nature and see the birds of the air, for they are cared for by the Heavenly Father. The grass, oh, it is clothed upon by the Heavenly Father. The lilies in all their beauty, clothed upon by the Heavenly Father. Are you not of more importance than them? Surely you are. And as you look by faith to your Heavenly Father, then all these things shall be added. What have you got to do? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. For there's no economic downturn in heaven. God bless you.